John 15. We're going to be looking at a few verses there in John 15 about friendship. There in your outline you see just a couple of statements. We all need friends. Every one of us. None of us are excluded from that need. You know why? Because God has created, He sort of like has hot-wired us to be connected with people. He's hot-wired us to have relationships. Openly and perfectly having a relationship with Him. He's created us to have a relationship with Him. Not only as our Creator, but also as our Father. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. Amen. And we also see that, you know, because God has created us to have friends, and that's, as they say, everyone, young and old, male, female, introvert, extrovert, whatever your personality is, God has created you to have friends and to be in relationship with others, okay? Because, you know, friends, we're talking about good friends. Obviously, there's all kinds of friends, you know, fair weather friends. Have you ever had any of those? Raise your hand. Yeah, all of us have had fair weather friends. You know, when the storms come, they leave. Yeah. Right. But we're talking about good friends, friends that stay there, if you will. Friends who will laugh with us. Friends who will cry with us. Friends will see all the warts and marks in our lives, all the wrinkles we have, and still love us. Amen? That's a good friend. Those are good friends. And that's why God has made us and created us to have relationships so we can be a good friend to someone else if they're a good friend to us, and we can laugh with them, we can cry with them, we can pray with them, we can encourage them, we can comfort them. What are some of the, as an introductory question for you, when you think of the friends that you have, and I pray you have good friends, and if you do, you need to thank God for each and every one of them. And I thank the Lord that you brought some of your good friends here today. We thank the Lord for them. But let me ask you this question about friendship and your friends. What are some of the qualities you look for in a good friend? Just take a minute right now and just write down in that space in your outline, just in that space, write down some qualities, three or four qualities of what makes a good friend. What qualities you look for in a good friend. Just take a moment. Just write down three or four. I know for some, the list is going on and on and on, and for others, it's just a short list. Just three or four. What would be some of those things? Just shout them out.
Loyalty.
What was that?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. Yeah, a loyal friend. Jonathan was David's loyal friend, and David was a loyal friend to Jonathan. In fact, so much so they made a covenant, didn't they? Yeah, what else? What's another attribute? What's another quality? Okay. Another one. Shout it out.
Faith.
Okay, good. Yeah. What else? Okay, we all have... And those are great answers, and those are the qualities we look for in friendships, aren't they? You know? And because we look for those qualities, we also know what qualities we should exhibit, we should demonstrate, we should have as our heart's desires to be a good friend in response in those relationships. So come with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're just going to look at just a few of the attributes, if you will, the characteristics of having Jesus as a friend. Having God as a friend is not something that is exclusive for just a few. And though we see in the Old Testament, Moses, God spoke to Moses face to face. It says in Exodus, as a friend speaks to a friend. And three times we read in the Word of God that Abraham was a friend of God. And so we realize that God delights in having people, having men and women and boys and girls in a friendship relationship with Him. And we want to take a look, if you will, at this passage where Jesus is very, very intentionally with His disciples in the upper room just before He was betrayed and arrested and crucified. He wanted to show His disciples how much He loved them, even before He died on the cross for them, and for you and for me too, before His resurrection. Are you there in John 15? I hope you are. If you're looking for it in the Pew Bibles on page 1068, John 15, Now, I want you to keep your hand there, put your outline there, and I want you to take a look at chapter 13. This is where it begins in the upper room, and Jesus is with his disciples. John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, it wasn't just the ones up in the upper room. He loved many people. Lazarus and his sister Mary and Martha, he loved many. But here he's now with his disciples in a very special time. And notice what it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the extent, the full extent of his love. I want you to keep that in mind, because in these words that Jesus is speaking to his disciples to comfort them, because he knows that they will lose all hope for a period of time. When darkness came upon their hearts and their lives when he was crucified, and literally darkness came for in the middle of the day when Christ hung on the cross, and he knew the disciples would flee, they would hide. And so he wanted to comfort them and wanted to assure them of his love. So follow with me now as I read chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Just those few verses. Are you there? John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is Jesus speaking. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man, no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. I think this is the first time they ever heard that declaration in such an intimate time, in such a very personal time with the Lord, where he said, You are my friends. I'm going to take a look and unpack this passage and what that means for you and I today as having Jesus as the greatest friend in all the world. Follow with me as I pick it up at verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, the reason he brings out the word fruit is because prior to this passage that we started, verse 12, he's talking about that he is the vine and we are the branches, those who are connected in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brings forth fruit out of our lives, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, if you will, of righteousness, the fruit. There's all sorts of different fruit that the Bible speaks of in the life of a believer and follower of Christ. So let's pick it up in verse 16. Again, you did not choose me, but I chose you. He took the initiative. He's taking that initiative today. He's taking that first step. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. That's awesome. The God of the universe, the creator of the universe, he's taking the first step in entering into that relationship with you and I. That's just absolutely awesome. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father, listen to this. If you have your own Bible, I want you to underline this passage. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I know some of you might be thinking, like I used to think a number of years ago, okay, now Lord, I'd like a Porsche. that's not what he's talking about, you know. I mean, he does meet our needs, doesn't he? Anybody who knows that the Lord has met your needs, raise your hand. Amen. He's promised that. He will meet our needs. It doesn't have to be a Porsche or a Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz or whatever that might be. But he does say, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me. I want you, because you're my friend. And so let's go, if you will. This is my command, love each other. I want to take a look, if you will, and unpackage what that means to have Jesus as your friend. In the present world and culture that you and I live in, I'm sure you see it in the workplace, you see it at school, you probably see it in your neighborhood as well, that people make associations for all sorts of reasons, make alliances for all sorts of reasons, and sometimes they use the word friend or friendship for whatever reason they do establish that connection. It's sort of like the one fellow who's bragging that he has so many friends that he hasn't even begun to use half of them. You know, sometimes people use people, and it's under the banner of friendship. That's not Jesus. You need to know that right now. If you have any doubt about your friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the greatest friend that you can have and you will have forever. And it's not a friendship on the basis of how He's going to get everything He can from you. But it's a friendship where you can receive everything He wants to give you through His life, death, resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Friendship is based on love. Take a look at verse 12. Verse 12. This friendship is based on love. Not on greed. Not on manipulation. Not on making some type of alliance for gain. But it's a friendship based on love. Take a look at what he says here in verse 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Circle that word as. He's using the comparison. And the comparison is based upon the fact that He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. And so this friendship is based upon love. Unconditional love. You know that John 3:16 verse that defines it. For God so what?
Loved
the world. That He gave His own begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Great verse. For God so loved the world. He's the initiator. He's the one who begins with that. Because He wants to invite every one of us to a relationship with Him. So it's a friendship that's based upon love. His love for us. Like it says there in 1 John, the disciple John, who was in this upper room, and he heard these very words from the very mouth of his Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I call you friends now. I love you. And I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And John writes this in one of his letters. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us and gave His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us. God's love is unconditional. It's a sacrificial love. God gave His Son for you and for me, that you and I can have a relationship, a salvation, a friendship with Him. Let's go on, if you will. It's also concerning our love for Him, our response to that love. Now, what kind of love do you think Jesus has for you? We talked about it. It's a self-giving love. It's a sacrificial love. I want you to see some other attributes of the love that Jesus is talking about that He has for you and that He has for me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. If you're using the Pew Bibles, page 1137. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is how Jesus loves you. This is how Jesus loves me. This is how, because He loves us in this manner unconditionally, He wants us to love one another. And if you have Jesus as your friend, you're going to experience this kind of love. And you're going to be able to not only experience it, but also express it. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4. 4 right on through, let's go 4 to 8. Love is patient. Boy, I need that. Do you need that? I sure do. Just ask my wife. Okay? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the kind of love that he's talking about right here. Come back with me to John chapter 15. This friendship with Jesus is based upon love, unconditional love, His love for us, and our response to that, our love for Him. And friends of Jesus, they love one another. That's really the thrust of verse 12 also, isn't it? If you love me, you're going to love one another. Isn't that great to know that because Jesus is your best friend forever, that relationship brings you into a relationship with others that are also best friends that will love you in spite of yourself? Love me in spite of me. You see, that's what friendship with Jesus opens up a whole new world, a whole new life. In fact, it's so important that we understand that Jesus, He doesn't just call us to the good life. How many tried to get the good life? I have. Know what I mean? How have you found? Has a good life, have you found, is not good enough? Know what I mean? But we're starting a series on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, living the better life when the good life is not good enough. Because Jesus says, I've come into this world to give life, life more abundant. That's what friendship, that's what a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ brings into the world of your life and the world of my life in a relationship with Him. And so let's take a look, if you will, at some other things. Another thing that we see, take a look at verse 13. This friendship with Jesus is made possible by one specific event, the singular, ultimate sacrifice of the very Son of God. Take a look at verse 13. Follow with me as I read verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How many have heard the phrase, falling on a grenade? Anybody? I know you guys who are in the service know what it is. It has become an idiomatic phrase today in our culture. I have a grenade. Aren't you glad? Say yes. Okay. During World War I and World War II, the Korean War, and also over there in Iraq, but also in Afghanistan, there were times when brothers in arms would fall on a live grenade. In fact, did you know that the Congressional Medal of Honor, that the majority of the Congressional Medal of Honors that are awarded to men and women that sacrificed their life, and majority of those fell on grenades or some munition to protect their friends. And Jesus Christ, He did that for enemies. I've never heard of anything where a soldier fell on a live grenade to save his enemies. Have you? But when Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that a man gave his life for his friends, we can understand that. And Paul says, a person might die for someone who's righteous, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can't fully fathom that. I really can't. Have you ever had enemies? I have. And I pray that I have a heart for forgiveness. I really do. But I've had enemies. And that's probably the one thing that would never enter my mind is to fall on the grenade for them. But you know, it was in the mind and the heart of God before the creation of the world that Jesus Christ would go to Calvary's cross, take the shame, the guilt, the pain, the judgment, the condemnation for you and I. That's the singular, let's all say it together, singular sacrifice that makes this friendship with Jesus possible. He died for you, He died for me. And that's why He brought this into the context of defining what friendship with Him is all about. It's a friendship made possible by a singular sacrifice. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. If you're using the Pew Bibles, on page 1116, Romans chapter 5. Follow with me as I read from verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, Paul writes, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Now we see that. We see that in the world today. But notice what he says here, but God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Died for enemies. Died for the ungodly. That's you and I. It's only through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I can have a relationship with God through him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Aren't you glad? Look over to your neighbor and tell him, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the gift of eternal life is right there? And it's in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, take a look, if you will, at verse 14. Verse 14 says that this friendship is not only based upon love and is not only made possible through a singular first sacrifice, the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. But it's also a friendship that is active, not passive. How many have a passive friendship with some people? Raise your hand. I do. And you know, in God's grace, passive, we've had friends, Ed and Jean Boley. They were dear friends of ours when we were just young, starting out, going to Bible college, and we went to Calvary Gospel Church, and they were part of our small group, and we connected with them, they connected with us. We were great friends, we were in small group ministries, and all of a sudden, you know, we go on and move on as life, you know, moves us on, and we kind of lost contact with them, and we went out to the mission field, and guess who comes out to the mission field to visit us? Ed and Jean Boley, all the way out to Kalimantan, Indonesia. Awesome! Great, they were really friends. They encouraged us and whatnot. And then we got separated again, and we weren't connected, and we didn't communicate. They weren't able to communicate with us, or whatever. And Ed called me up this past week. He said, "Bill, how are you and Diana doing?" I said, "Fine, Ed. Good to hear your voice. How's Jean doing?" "Oh, she died 2010. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Ed. But I'm glad to know that she's home to the Lord." He said, "Bill, I want to ask you something as a friend. Will you take my funeral? I just got home from the hospital. They can't do anything more for me. Much of my shame, I could have made connections with Ed during those past times, those stretch times where there were no communication, no phone calls. I should have taken the initiative, but I didn't. I can say very frankly, and to my shame, that during those times, I was a very passive friend. Would you agree?" "Yeah. I don't want to be a passive friend anymore. I really don't." And the reason I'm saying that, because Jesus wants you to enter into a friendship with him. Not just for your funeral. Not just for your funeral. But right now, for your life. And he will take that initiative, and he wants you to respond in a very active way, not passively. And how do you do that? By loving him and by obeying him. Take a look at verse 12. "My commandment is just love each other as I have loved you. Love me, obey me." Take a look at verse 17. "This is my command, love each other." Now, it's not really clear. It's sort of like, you know, love the others and love your brothers and love your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want you to turn with me to chapter 14. It's on the next page. Chapter 14 in John. And take a look at verse 15. Verse 15 of John chapter 14. And he has to say it three times. You know why he has to say it three times? Because Bill Gray is slow to learn. You ever hear that statement? Too old, too soon, too wise, too late? That's me. Okay? And he's had it here three times. John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Verse 21. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." Take a look again down in verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings." You see, the active, not passive, friendship relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is one of love and obedience. Now I know, and I meet people all the time. In fact, I was there at one time. I thought I had to obey God in order to be saved. I thought I had to do the Ten Commandments in order to be saved and go to heaven. But I kept realizing in my own heart I couldn't do that. I couldn't fulfill the law of God perfectly. And that's exactly what God says. It's showing his standard, his perfect standard of righteousness. But you know something? Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the law of God perfectly. So that when he died on Calvary's cross, he died for my sins, my unrighteousness, my transgressions, your sins, your transgressions, and your unrighteousness. And something happens when a person, a man or a woman or a boy or a boy or girl says, "You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, that he died for my sins and he rose again the third day." There's a transaction that happens. There's a transaction that happens both in heaven and in the heart of that person. Something happens. All the judgment and condemnation, the shame of my sins, were upon Christ, and his perfect righteousness is now put to my account. What a wonderful transaction that is. Amen? Yes. So that I obey him now because I love him. I obey him now because he's my friend. And I want to demonstrate my love to him out of obedience, out of trust, out of honor, out of service. Let's go on very quickly. Number four, friendship that desires to share. Verse 15. Take a look at verse 15. I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. He said, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You know what a good friendship does? It shares with each other. Friends share. And this wonderful friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, that's important to him too. He shares the things of God with us, the things of the Father with us, the things of the Holy Spirit with us. He shares. He gives them to us freely, graciously, abundantly. And he also wants you and me to share the things that are on our hearts with him. That's why if you have Jesus as the best friend you'll ever have, you have a friendship with Jesus, he invites you today to cast all your cares, your burdens, your worries, your anxieties, your failures, your sins upon him. For he careth for you. That's what God's word says. That's God's word, 1 Peter. So, friendship with Jesus is a friendship that desires to share the things of God. And lastly, number four, five, friendship with Jesus encourages personal growth. Take a look at verse 16. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Awesome. Two things that we see here in this, in verse 5. That friendship with Jesus Christ is one that encourages personal growth, spiritual growth, right now. Not later, but right now. Real growth. Growth in the Holy Spirit, we read. That love that he demonstrates to you and to me, that is patient, that is kind, and all those attributes is poured into our hearts so that we can show that to him and to one another. Amen? Yeah. That encourages personal growth. You know, fruit is used in the Word of God in many ways. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of our lips, the fruit of our offerings. But there's two ways I want you to think about this fruit here in this context. That friendship with Jesus encourages personal growth. There's a fruit of the gospel. And one of the ways that our friendship with Christ wants us to grow in that friendship and also to grow in the way of inviting others to be friends with Jesus. And that's the fruit of the gospel. See, when you have a good friend, you're not embarrassed to introduce that good friend to somebody else, are you? No. And that's his plan. For all of his friends, for all of his followers, the fruit of the gospel, that you and I can, with joy, with conviction, with anticipation, share the good news. Maybe with a mother, maybe with a father, maybe with a brother or sister, maybe with a neighbor, maybe with another friend. There's another way I want you to think about the fruit that's also expressed in the Word of God. The fruit of a transformed life. Therefore, if any man or woman or boy or girl be in Christ Jesus, they are new creations. Old things are passed away. Aren't you glad old things are passed away? I sure am. I don't want those old things. But I do want all that I have in Christ Jesus. And I pray. Sincerely. And I've been praying all these past couple of weeks leading up to Friend Day. That as you as an invited friend, you're our friend today. You really are. And I pray that friendship grows. I pray that friendship will last. I pray that friendship will also bring you, if you're not already in a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can experience all that Christ wants to bring into your life. You see, having Jesus Christ as my friend. He really, really is my best friend. The only one second to that is my bride, Jesus Christ. My bride, Diana. I'm sorry. You didn't know that, did you? Well, no sense of, yeah. See, friends get embarrassed friends too. And they still love you. I want to invite you, if you've never made that faith step, that step of trust, putting your faith, your life, in the hands of Jesus. There's a prayer that's on your sheet right there. Before we go to that, how does friendship with Jesus get started? When I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1968, some of you are saying, 68, I wasn't even born then. I wouldn't even have thought that, right? Okay, but Jesus was there for me, and Jesus is here for you. Amen? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you very honestly, very openly, my life has never been the same since. And I thank the Lord for it. I mean that with all sincerity. He's changing my life for the better. For the better. He's changed my marriage for the better. He's changed my children for the better. Because he died for my sins and he rose again. What does it take to be a friend with Christ? Simple as ABC. Take a look at your sheet before you. A, admit that you are a sinner and turn from your sins. And simply ask for forgiveness. That's the A part. Let's go to the B, okay? Believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. You see, because God's word is very clear. Christ himself made it very absolutely clear. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And salvation means brought into a friendship relationship, brought into a saving relationship with him as Lord and Savior and friend. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. And see, I said it's simple as ABC. See, commit your new life to follow Jesus as your Savior, Lord, and friend. If you're here today and you've never done that, I need to encourage you. I plead with you. I beg with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive him today. He will transform your life. He will forgive you for all of your sins. And you will enter into a friendship with the greatest friend in all the world forever. Will you pray this prayer with me? Let's just bow our heads. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes because you won't be able to read it. Okay? Just bow our heads. And if you're here and you hear God speaking to you about entering into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, into a friendship, a fellowship with him, and you want to be saved, would you just, as you have your head bowed, would you just say these words with me? There's nothing magical about the words, but it just expresses a heart's cry for salvation and friendship with Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for wanting to be my friend. Thank you that long before I ever knew your name, you came to earth and lived. You died for my sins, and you rose again to make it possible for all my sins to be forgiven and my life to be changed through your life. I confess that I am a sinner and ask you for forgiveness. I turn from my sins and open my heart and life to you. Come into my life and make me new and teach me to follow you from this day forward. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. If you're here this morning too and you've allowed your friendship from your side with Jesus to become passive, not active, but passive, cold and distant, God's been speaking to you most recently about renewing that friendship, renewing that relationship, that fellowship with Christ. Because somewhere along the line, you've left your first love. May this be the day you return to Him. Would you just simply pray such a prayer as this for the renewal of that friendship and fellowship with Christ? Lord Jesus, I have drifted away from you. I have let my heart grow cold, distant in my relationship with you. I do believe in you, and today I renew my life friendship with you in love and obedience, in service and fellowship. I repent of my indifference and callousness and ask for your forgiveness for my sins. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Renew my mind and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. Father God, I know that the Bible is your word, not the words of men. And because it is your word, it is powerful, that effectually works in the hearts and minds, deep into the souls of men and women and boys and girls. We've seen it, we've experienced it ourselves. So Father, I pray that this your word continue to work in our lives for your glory, that many today have entered into a friendship, a saving relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.